Welcome to the Beekeeper's Corner Podcast. April 14th, 2024, episode 247, The Ride. Hello, everyone. Welcome into the Beekeeper's Corner. I'm Kevin England, back again for another episode where hobbyist beekeepers talk about hobby beekeeping. At least that's the theme of this episode. Not a conventional one, but a car recording made with my twin brother Keith and his wife Karina. My nephew Corey raced at the Greenwood Valley Action Track this weekend out in, oh my God, it's way out there, Pennsylvania. Somewhere out near Bloomsburg. And in the 2+ hour car ride, we sat and talked about bees, and at some point I had the wherewithal to put the phone down, hit record, and capture the conversation. The reason it's called The Ride is because we were driving on the fabulous interstate system that they have there in Pennsylvania, which is probably one of the worst in the country. God, it is awful. But that being said, I tried to do my best to clean out the road noise, and this should be a fun one. The conversation that Keith and I had about the episode a couple episodes ago where I changed my voice so I didn't sound as much like him. You could pick out which one of us was talking. This had no screening that way. So hopefully you can get, I tried not to talk over him. I let him talk and then I talked and Karina from the backseat was interjecting through the whole thing. I thought it made for a rather interesting conversation. I'm not going to tell you what we talked about because I think I'd like you to just hear it unfold as it went through. In the end, I'm going to play you a local hive report. The local hive report is actually a summation of the weekend's activity, which included the Manage Mentoring Meeting, or the Northwest New Jersey Beekeepers Mentoring Meeting, to be more exact. But there were Manage Mentor folks there, which was great. Loved it. Plan was on Saturday to work live bees, but the weather was just atrocious. We still had a pretty good session, and from that perspective, I'll tell you all about it. Plan B was to come back on Sunday, and on Sunday we did just that. Went in, cracked open the hives. It changed from 40 degrees, 20 degrees wind, or 20 mile an hour winds and cloudy with rain coming down to sunny, beautiful, 70 degrees, perfect bee weather, and we tore the hives apart, and you're going to hear about everything that I did. And there's three new colonies sitting outside the garage here at home that we brought home from Valley Crest. I don't want to spend any more time telling you about this. I'm just going to play the recordings. Enjoy the ride. Okay, so let me set it up by saying, up until now, I went out during the cold weather and I looked to see if everything was flying or not on a medium day. It wasn't really warm, wasn't really cold. I saw motion on all four and everything looked equal on par and I was super happy. I think I called you that day. Told you that we made it through, and contrary to what I said back in November where I thought one of them was a little light, I figured we dodged a bullet. And fast forward a couple of weeks, I actually went out and opened them up, and then, you know, the day before I went out and looked, it was 70 degrees, three of them were flying, one was dormant, so I kind of knew. And the question was, did it literally just succumb in that time period? Or, you know, what was the story there going forward? So we took the thing apart, and Karina did it, actually. Right, Karina? Thank you. Say hello, Karina. She's here.
What?
Say hello.
To who?
To the podcast world.
Oh, hello. What
they've never heard your voice before, so
I'm recording.
We're introducing you. Wow. You're going to be famous. Don't worry. Anyway, So I was away. Karina took the box apart. It looked like there were not many bees in there. And it turns out that they weren't just in there. There was no parity on all four. They were literally cleaning the box out. So the terrible news is that they didn't have enough numbers to make it through the winter, which we kind of knew. Again, wasn't that big of a surprise. The really good news is that the thing was spick and span clean inside. Everything was beautiful. So, did you find a cluster? I have to ask. No. There were a couple of bees head in. I do feel like they had adequate resources. I just don't think they had enough bees to stay warm. So, now the question is, oh, master beekeeper. And I'm going to put a couple scenarios and tell you which one I want. And you're going to tell me if it's feasible or not. So, we know that the other three are chock full of bees. We opened them up the other day. We looked in, put the honey supers on, three of them. And we had, go ahead.
Put a honey super on all three of them?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, one on each. And literally all three of them are really doing well. So the supers that we put on had a little bit in them. Each one had a little bit in them. But when we took them off, they weren't ready to be harvested. So we stored them for the winter and we gave it back to the bees. And we suspect that the little crabapple tree next to our apiary will have a swarm on it shortly. Whether it's one or more, I don't know. But, you know, we named, as you all should, we named our hives because we got tired of saying this hive, that hive, whatever. So we named them after the Thousand Acre Woods and Winnie the Pooh. So we've got Pooh, Tigger, Roo, and I believe Kanga?
Piglet.
Piglet, sorry. So Tigger is the one that loves that tree, right? Over the last couple of years when we've had two swarms, we've captured them back and they go in that tree. So I'm already too long in the explanation. So here we either do a split now or we wait for the swarm and then capture it and put it in the other box. Now I'm of the choice of Team A, which is capture the swarm, put it back in the box. Last year what I did was put it in the box, I took it over to Corey's house, I left it there for a week to acclimate, and then I brought it back and I put it back in our apiary, and that went swimmingly well. So, okay, turning the thing over to you, go ahead.
Wait a minute, isn't that assuming that the swarm, we could recapture it? How do you know they're going to stay here?
Well, we've captured the last 2 or 3.
Down the road.
You're right. But they love that tree, so there's no reason to believe that they're not going to. Yeah, there's a chance there. Let's go back to Roo. Okay.
Roo, no good.
You captured a swarm at some point. You put it in a box. Was it Roo?
It was.
Okay. So the colony that did not make it through was a swarm. And the reason I point that out to you is, when a hive swarms, what happens? The queen leaves. And so the queen that left is replaced by a new queen. If your hives swarmed and the three of them that made it through were operated with swarm queens that were new, note that the one that did not make it through was a second year queen or third year queen, because you captured her back in the swarm. And so that might be something to do with why it isn't a reason, but a possibility that hive didn't make it through because queen ran out of gas at the end of the year.
All right, Keith moment. That swarm was actually from a very, very nice beekeeper out in Raritan, New Jersey.
Yeah, I remember.
Contacted
same
us.
Same thing, though. It doesn't change.
Yes, I know. I wanted to make that clarify. He was super nice. We couldn't get there. He kept the bees and
you know, let us come on. You know, he was just super nice. So thank you to them. He knows who he is. When you inspect the colony at the end of the year, meaning summertime, and you see that it's not all that it can be, that's an opportunity with the swarm colony to requeen. You start fall and go into winter, come out of spring with a new queen. You stand a better chance of survival. And also that brood break gives you a bit of a respite from the varroa mites. So one thing that I'll say to you, why does a, let's come back to your swarm scenario. Why does a swarm hang in a tree right outside your hives? I'm not sure I fully understand, so let me take a stab at your answer. Karina said it flies away, but why would it land?
Well, it's...
Well, they gather up right there.
Last year, its first step was the corner of the apiary.
Okay.
The corner post of the apiary. They were all there. And then by the time we went to get the box, we turned around and they were in the tree, which was literally, what, 15 feet away.
Well, I think they also scented that tree. I don't know if it lasts annually, but it's their spot. So they knew that spot was the gathering spot. So you're spot on in the logic. When they want to swarm, they stop the queen from feeding and they trim her down. But mind you, she's been in the colony for whatever period of time. She's not flying. They get her into flying shape. When she goes out the door and they cast the swarm, she may fly for a smidge of a period and go, oh, hold on a minute, and land on the tree. That's why they gather a lot of times, because they want to fly directly to the place, but if they start to fly and the queen doesn't come with them, they have to pause for a moment, because the queen can only fly. And she usually flies to the first thing she sees, which, if you have one predominant tree in the field of view, that's a great place for her to go. And the other thing is, you're right in the context that when the swarm lands, they leave their pheromone on the tree. And it is very consistent that year on year on year, they would physically fly right back to that same thing, because for what it's worth, the pheromone is still there from the previous swarm.
That's hard to believe. Yeah. Right. Through all the rain and the winter and the wind.
But let me ask a question. We have several hives. Isn't the pheromone specific?
It's just bee pheromone.
Okay.
So this is the funny thing. I only know this from a story that was related to me of how they discovered this. And it's an odd story, and that's why it sticks with me. Someone relayed that the person who discovered it, that there's pheromone left over and that it's an attractant to the bees, encountered an episode where a swarm landed on the mast of a sailboat. And every year, the swarms coming out of that area, wherever that sailboat was, would fly and land on the sailboat. The guy who owned the sailboat's like, what the frick is going on? Why does this swarm? And somebody did a scientific study on it and said, this is the reason they found the pheromone on the mast. So when I first learned from Stan Wozniacki about this, his commentary to me was, if it's a good place, you like where they landed, and you want them to come back there in the future, let's say they on a low-hanging branch, don't cut the branch off. And, you know, sometimes people cut it off and walk it over and drop it. Because if you leave it there, they'll come back to that same spot. You could just shake them in. That's why the story sticks with me. Whether it's folklore or who knows, right?
Yeah.
But the Russian people developed some strategy where they put a post up in front of the hives. I think the thing's called the Skion. And the premise of it is, if a swarm casts and sees that post, they'll hang in the apiary and you'll come out and find the swarm hanging there. And they physically built your proverbial tree right in front of the hive for the swarm to land on. and then you go out and collect it.
That's what happened last year.
And I can say to you that I've seen hives on subsequent years land in the exact same bush in my yard. In fact, one of them, they fly up when I used to have the apiary on the other side, which you know. They would always go up to this one tree and land in the exact same spot, like 4 years in a row. I don't know. And I think it's probably the scout bees that actually define that when they go out to scout. I don't know how they know about it. But it comes back to the same thing of why does my swarm trap, which I put frames in this morning, by the way, have bees move into it, the one sitting next to my garage. It smells like bees, apparently. They come back every year and find it. So you could let it cast, but honestly, I don't know. If you have queen cells, Why risk the swarm flying away?
I don't have an objection. I don't mind. We could split it. I have time to do it.
So. I would split it. But what are you going to... You got three hives in one box. What are you going to put them in?
You know, I got this brother who helps me out once in a while, and he gave me a little baby... I don't know what. Swarm box.
So that takes.
What is that thing? I know it's polystyrene. How big is it?
You still have that?
6/6.
I didn't know you had it.
Yeah, I offered it back, and you said no. Hang on to it. I'm good. So I was thinking about pressing that into service. The one thing I do need to do is go inventory. We bought Formic, which you know I reached out to you. I have to go see where I stand. I have frames. I don't know if I have foundation. I think I do. I will say, full disclosure, that the box that we lost had mediums and it had a couple of small frames in it.
Yeah.
Which and we were. Had,
I peeked in it this morning.
Yeah. We had all intentions on fixing that right now, but now we don't have to worry about it because we're going to fix it while we do this. So.
But let's say you make all these splits. Right. Now you have spares in the yard, but you don't want any more hives, so what are you going
to
do?
I'm going to give them to you.
Okay, I'll take
Seriously.
All right.
We had already discussed that. What, you have, like, you have room for five.
Yeah, I have
so.
One. Okay.
Listen, one hand washes the other. I'm thrilled with 3 out of 4. I thought I had 4 out of 4, but hey, that's the way beekeeping goes sometimes, so.
Well, yeah, then put it back in my box and get my box back.
Right, I could do that easily.
Well, I was going to say to you, I have, you know, when you buy a new, it typically comes in temporary equipment, which is a nuke box.
Yeah.
And I have 6 of them in my garage for this purpose. So, if you'd have told me, I'd have brought them today. Well,
unrelated to this conversation, I know that today, I went and worked with apprentices, and I'm going to defend myself because in the episode that you and I talked about, I was supposed to go with you today to the bee yard.
Yeah.
I said I was going to go, and I had to go to work instead, so I didn't make it. However, having said that, the weather was so cold. We're on the way to the races, and Karina wasn't going to come because it's super cold. It's 54 degrees and the wind is blowing 30 miles an hour and it's only going to get colder. We were supposed to go and open up boxes and talk to new beekeepers and I was going to help you and all that. And I don't know how much I would have been a help, but I would have gone.
We had to call an audible today.
You had to call an audible.
We pretty much stood outside. So last week, Bob and I went through the boxes. And I knew what was inside. And I just verbally described what was what. But I could not go through a meeting without giving new beekeepers a look at bees in a live field meeting. So we walked down to the lower apiary. And I opened my big hive. And we had it open for probably 20, 30 minutes. I made sure that, you know, I pulled the box off and we went through it. No brood, so to speak, other than drone. And I kept it covered. Yeah, we chilled them. There's no doubt.
Is it a poly?
No, this one wasn't a poly. So, but we got to show people eggs and larvae and brood and explain to them how to find it. They saw what a drone looked like. They saw a drone brood, and we talked about, have you ever seen bullet drones?
I have.
So there were bullet drones in there because the queen laid in a regular cell for a worker. And when they capped that, it looks like a 22 bullet. It's pretty unique.
So in your defense, I said it's going to be super cold, but it's not supposed to go below 40. At least not there.
Right? Well, it was cold and windy and cloudy. Yeah. And it was awful.
It rained on our concrete today. It wasn't supposed to rain. We poured,
sprinkled on us. Yeah.
We poured concrete, it got wet.
Not a good day to do.
But we saved it. So
you realize with the two of us talking together, people's heads are exploding.
Yeah. So, all right, let's bring this to a summary.
Wait, let's ask this question.
Go ahead.
Are you interested in a daimarine?
Am I supposed to know? I know there was this, the daimarine technique, and you turn it around, and you spin it over, and you look at it twice, and you wish it well. I don't know what a daimarine is.
Well, this is the opportunity.
Go ahead. So give me the daimarine.
Let me give you the Cliff Note version.
Kevin Moment.
Of what a daimarine is.
Kevin Moment.
Kevin Moment.
Yeah.
Good grief. If you want to keep all your bees, you go through and set the hive up in an alternative way. You take the queen and all the capped brood, and you put it in the bottom box with foundation. Above that, you put a box with drawn comb. Above that, you put a box with all foundation. Above the foundation box, you put a queen excluder. Now you can put the queen excluder under the all foundation. The purpose of the all foundation is just so there's a barrier between the two. On top of the stack above the queen excluder, you take all the rest of the bees with open brood and resources. If there's any queen cells, you put it on top. What you end up with is the queen's in the bottom, and she just carries on with whatever resources you gave her. And the box in the top, you can do two paths. The first path is, if there were queen cells, you could kill all the queen cells and go through it again in a couple days in case they made more queen cells and kill all the queen cells. And eventually, all the brood that was up there emerges, comes out, runs its course, and with no queen, you end up with a box of bees.
Okay.
When you're done with that, you should be done with all the swarm impulse. You pull the queen excluder out, and they still are going up and down through the box. And so they join back together, and you have a massive workforce. And you put honey supers on top. So this is a swarm prevention method, and it also keeps all the bees, and they make lots and lots of honey for you. Now, I said there were two choices. The second choice is, you leave the box on the top, and if it has queen cells, you let them go. They make a new queen. Hold your ears, Karina. When the time comes that queen goes out and gets mated, you have to give them an entrance, the top box, so they operate basically like two different colonies. And the queen is established and she starts to lay. You go down in the bottom box and you find your old queen. You thank her for her service and you pinch her. Then you pull the excluder out and the new queen and colony come down and join with the lower colony, and they become one big colony. But the benefit is you now have a shiny new queen to take it all over. Proven, good to go, swarm queen. That's the daimarine process in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
You can try that on one of your colonies, but you got all this equipment.
Yeah.
Right? You need to do that.
Right.
Which I can help you out with.
So the only thing, I don't own a queen excluder.
I have. Five of them.
I know you do.
15 of them. What, Karina? Go ahead.
I like that idea. I want to try that.
It would be neat to try.
I want
to
try that.
Just
this
so
year.
You
and
so
who
you
knows,
did it.
Honey? Maybe you'll have a rabbit and a kanga by the time we're done.
I'll make it. I'll tell you what. Make it a deal. We'll do it, but we're not going to call it De Marie. We're going to call it Horizontal Bee Duplex. Because that's kind of what we're talking about.
Well, this is the
horizontal
other thing. This is the other thing about it. Some people wait till that queen gets established, and instead of pinching the queen, they take the hive off the top and they move it to a bottom board and they make a split out of it.
Yeah.
And it's a proven split with a brand new queen. And they make, basically, they expand their apiary. Okay. That's the third option I didn't mention.
So let me ask the question, when you do a split, I thought you had to take the split away.
You usually take the split away, correct. But in this case, you don't have to.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
All right, let's do that. And we're going to have to do that rather quickly.
Yes, you are.
Am I correct? I mean, it's
like this week.
The middle of April.
If you have... So April 15th is swarm day.
Okay.
Guess what today is?
Swarm day.
Swarm day.
Yeah.
This is the traditional start to the swarm season.
Yeah, but it's
April 15th.
Cold.
Well, tomorrow, did you see the weather this week? It's going to be 70s and 80s, maybe. Believe it or not, that's what I saw. Unless I was looking at, like, some other place, but I'm pretty sure I opened a weather app and that's what it told me. So, swarm calls, they're going to be off the scale this week. So we talk about De Marie, but one of the things you could do is make a split and maintain a nuke. And a nuke is insurance policy. If you could put a nuke over to Corey's and I got the boxes or whatever you need.
We have that box that you gave us.
No, you need more than that. Because a nuke is going to grow in the season like explosion. 5 frames of bees is nothing. It's going to be 10 frames and 15 frames.
There's two. It's not just one box, it's two.
Well, this is my point.
Yeah.
The common sense thing to do is have a nuke in reserve. And then if something goes wrong with your queen, if you oops and kill your queen, if your hive swarms away and then the queen cell that they made didn't come to fruition, you just turn and you use your nuke as a resource. So,
yeah, but what do you do with it if it doesn't happen?
At the end of the season, you take your nuke and you combine it back with the colony. In the dearth, the bees are going to contract. And when you get ready for winter, you can combine them. Yeah. But understand, it's a hive. So you have to treat it, do all those other things. But taking care of a nuke is actually a pleasure. It's nice to take care of a small little hive. Easy to inspect. Find the queen every time. It takes care of itself from a treatment standpoint, like one apivar strip or whatever it is. So that's another alternative.
I think one, there's other things at play here. Not only is there Grafton, but there's also Baltimore. She wants to keep bees.
She wants bees now, so we have to feed her.
Well, the good news is she should never have to buy bees. She's going to have to buy equipment somewhere along the line and set up her apiary. But if her,
well, that's why I'm thinking if we bought more equipment, we could get it started.
You could do what I did, drop a hive off. Hey, I brought you a hive.
Give her two, I think, two.
Yeah, you want to start with two.
Well, like I said, we had that conversation, a couple, 3 weeks ago. She's like, I want bees. I'm like, oy vey.
Yeah, she said something to me. Well, she needs to get started. She's too late.
But then again,
she's not if we feed her.
So this is the point. If
we
make a split and you just keep the bees at her place and let her look after them, and then next year she can make that split into whatever apiary she wants. That's another, like you guys.
So, if I've got three and I split two of them, I'll put one in brew, put the other one in that other box that you have, your box.
Well, you just said we need a bigger one.
I know. And then get some new equipment, Karina. How long would it take? 2 weeks to get that equipment? And then put it in there.
and then they could go down and she could buy it. Again, we could speculate or we could figure it out when the time comes. It's not hard. You just do what you do.
I think we're not, I don't want to diminish all that you just said, because it was really good and I liked it. Okay. We've got three. I feel like there's four in our future. We kind of want to stay with four. One of us wants to go to eight. I would say that one of us is talking right now.
You don't need eight hives.
No, I know.
As busy as your life is, you don't need eight hives.
I think, do we leave it alone at three, manage the swarms, see if we could send one your way, or two, or whatever it becomes. Then, wait for it. If somebody else offers a swarm, we get a queen from somewhere else and mix it in and see what happens. I like that flavor of a different queen from somewhere else.
I got news for you. You're going to get swarm calls because you guys are beekeepers and people know. So somebody's going to call somebody who called somebody and say,
"Give the
Karina
bees.
Have bees."
Hops, bees, and trees.
The only problem with that is we have the world's best bees. And,
we do have the world's best bees.
Our bees are better than your bees. we've got that mentality.
I can't wait to have your bees.
I know.
Isn't that going to be good?
We have such happy bees. They love us.
Yeah.
Well, look, what happens is what's going to happen. How's that for?
You're in the end, everything is going to be okay. If it's not okay, it's not the end. I tell my apprentices that all the time. So, hey, we have options, and it's a nice problem to have. I'm sorry that, I really did get fooled. I honestly thought I had all four, and I was a little surprised. But I don't think we're decimated by any stretch of the imagination. And
now, three out of four, 75%, you're above the above the fold.
And there are three super. I mean, just when you look in there, they're going. It's time. And you wouldn't think it because it's been so darn. The weather's been weird. They say it's been warmer when I watch the news. They say we've had a very warm whatever. I don't see that. I've seen it as rainy, cold, windy. We were talking about it earlier today. The wind's been blowing like we live in, where was it, Chicago? Where's the Windy City, right? Well, New Jersey's been the Windy City.
Can I ask a question? Will putting the honey supers on there delay the swarm now that they have wing room up there? Or no? Does it make a difference?
So the swarms are... I'm going to use two terms that I like to use when I train. Indicators and triggers. The indicators are the conditions are right. It's congested. There's queen cups, not cells. There's drones present. Those are indicators. This morning when I looked through the hive that we did the demo at the bee yard, we pulled out the fourth frame. And there was a charged queen cell. It wasn't a cup. It's a queen in the making. It's almost probably 2 days, 3 days from being capped. Soon as it's capped, that's when the swarms typically emerge. So I have 2 or 3 days to do something with that colony before the bees fly away. Which last weekend, we were looking at it, we're like, I don't know if it'll still be here when we get back this weekend. I think when the weather breaks tomorrow or the next day, it's going to fly the coop. I'm going to go try and get it first thing tomorrow. But we saw a capped queen cell. That's a trigger. It means they've already made up their mind that they're going to swarm, and they've committed to the activities. And so one of the things I talked about in the lesson this morning is, you could go kill all the capped queen cells, but the bees already got the signal to go. And if some of the scout bees didn't know that you crushed all the queen cells, they may go out the door, take everybody with them, and you have no queen, because the queen goes with the swarm. So, who knows, when you go in your hive this week and look at it, if you see
indicators, you're probably okay. White wax, drones are present, queen cups, things like that. But you'll want to relieve the congestion, and the way you do that is put honey supers on early.
The drones are present. I can see that the other day.
Give them space above.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And give them a lot of room.
And will that delay them?
And that should make them happy.
Well, for a little bit. But they'll still
for
go.
For a little bit. Okay. So we had...
Because we really, you know, like I said, this week has been too chilly. I mean, how do you open...
Well, that's the funny thing.
You can't open to look at all this stuff when it's the wind is blowing.
But they're inside the box, and they're doing their thing. And as soon as the weather breaks, and they see forage coming in, another indicator, and the storage starts to get crowded, they got no room to put things, another indicator, then it's going to be swarm time. So when's that going to happen? I'll tell you an interesting thing. Last week, we looked at that box, and Bob and I said, we got to do something to relieve the congestion. There was a piece of hive equipment sitting next to it. So we took medium frames from our dink hive that was there, an all medium hive, and we put them in the spare box and we put it on top. You know what I saw today? When we went through those frames, they were all full of nectar. They were full of nectar. 1 week.
That's good.
6-7 days.
Now, I didn't share this because we weren't at that point of the conversation, but we had two honey supers on each of those boxes. And we took them all off in order, put them in the garage, kept them there safe all winter. We literally put them back on in order. So out of four, we put three back on. We currently have four that were the second set, and they have stores in them, whereas these were mostly empty. And we have the additional one that was there. So we have five honey supers that are 50% or more full, ready to go. So we could theoretically put those also on
top. Yeah, put them on. They'll fill them right away.
You know,
okay, so let's
do that.
We gotta inspect them first, make sure they're okay.
We don't mark our queens. If we're deficient in anything, we probably should know how old our queens are. And we kind of have a feeling, you know, if I go back and look at my history, I could tell you what's what. However, not definitively. So, if we're going to go down the rabbit hole, the three-year-old queen starts to dissipate, not do as much. We're at that point. We're fourth year. We've lost, over the 4 years, we've lost three hives, three colonies, and, you know, do we requeen? I'm not inclined
yes.
to requeen.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Wait, here's the thing.
That's
I'm ready?
Like
I know.
Idea.
Wait a minute.
That's
here's
like
here's
Kevin's
something
idea.
I'll tell you. Ready?
Because our bees are superior. I just want to put that back in.
Yeah, but this is the cool part of it.
Yeah.
You do have really nice bees.
Yep, they're super nice.
And if you make a split for me, I could go in and graft from the bees that you give me.
Yep, I can.
And
I
can
make new queens and then return your stock back to you.
Okay. Wouldn't that be nice?
There you go.
Nice. Okay.
Solves everybody's problem.
Yeah.
Let me talk about one thing.
Good.
You want to put bees in your fourth box. Here's why. I had this conversation with Sharon this morning. I'm in a race. I have a bunch of dead outs. It's been cold and windy and clammy and whatever. I need to beat the wax moth before they get in and destroy my colonies. So I need to get bees in those boxes to protect the comb. Sharon asked me this morning, did you find any sign of wax moth? I said, you're not going to find it yet. So here's my rule of thumb, or at least my observation after 15 years. When you see flies and gnats and other things flying, that's when wax moths emerge. We don't see them now, right? You don't have any of that. But this week, when it gets 70 degrees, 80 degrees for a week, you're going to see bugs in the air. And now it's wax moth time. So I'm cleaning out my dead outs as fast as I can, and I need to
spray BT on my thing so that if I have any unprotected comb, the wax moth aren't going to eat it. And I must say to you guys that I pulled 3 hives down this morning and cleaned the frames. I have 8 frames that I pulled out that are 2020 or older. I have them marked.
And I'm getting rid of them. Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram. I'm getting rid of them. And some of it, there's one frame in there that's newer, but it looks god-awful the way that it's built. So this is my time of the year where I cull all the old comb, like a good beekeeper, interactive pest management. And I also get rid of all the terribly formed comb. I had one foundationless high frame that had all drone comb, and it looks awful the way it's formed. Some of the comb, I don't know why it looks so black. Sometimes they take the old comb and they recycle it. And this comb was like black. I don't like black comb. I don't want
to. I had some too and I tossed it.
Yeah.
I didn't even ask for permission. I said, oh no, I'm getting rid of that.
I like fresh, pretty comb.
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but that was a frame that we got from somebody. Know
could,
anybody?
Could be.
It was.
Well, this is the thing.
Well, we should qualify that. When we first started, you showed up with a box. I think we've gone over this in the past, but
yeah.
But that original equipment, some of it stayed with us as things got built, and we replaced it with new. But there were a couple, and I think that's what Green is referring to.
Well, this is the thing. What do you put in your swarm traps? Your old funky comb. Right? It's the best thing.
Yeah, because you want it to smell like bees.
But the difficulty is when you do that, you're putting this comb that you just pulled out and need to throw away back into circulation. And so I didn't do that this year. The funny thing is I took those 3 boxes apart. I put what I needed into the equipment that I was going to put in service today, but I had 6 frames extra. And they're all 2021, 22, some 23. There was one 24 that never got built out. I took all of those frames that are still current and I put them in my swarm trap. So I'm not doing that this year. I'm not taking the comb that I really want to get out of the operation and putting it out in swarm traps. I have enough comb from my dead outs and it's all been rotated relatively frequent that I'll be able to put reasonable comb. So yeah, cut that stuff out, get rid of it. And if you buy a nuke from someone, chances are you're getting their old crappy comb. You need to plan next year to get that stuff out. So you guys did the right thing. If you see any comb that came from me or anywhere else, get it out, get rid of it.
I'm gonna say 95% of what we have is a pretty pale yellow, exactly what you want.
Yeah, 95%. Your stuff's all relatively new.
Yeah. So, I don't, you know.
Well,
I haven't looked at our stores.
You know what you'll be doing tomorrow or Monday with that?
Getting a tap on the shoulder here.
You're going to be fixing
that. I just got a text message while we're talking about somebody wants me to work tomorrow for them on
Sunday?
A private side job. Yeah. Oh. Sunday's no day for the weary. No rest for the weary.
Tell them you're working bees.
Work at bees. So, well, Kev, not only did we do it, but we got ourselves a recording here. Yeah. I'm starting to get, like, people are going to go, hey, you're the other one. Well, and now we got Greena. Say hi again, Greena.
Hello.
Yeah, since you're the smarter one of the two of us, I should try and get you on the show more often.
I don't know about that. I'm smart enough to ask for advice. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
So.
All right, that was good. I had nothing planned for this weekend. I was going to go try and rustle something tomorrow, but I think this was a good talk. Timely for everybody, so hopefully you enjoyed it.
Hope you got something out of it. Thanks.
Local Hive Report, it's 10:04 Sunday afternoon, and I am sitting at the intersection of 202 and Valleycrest Road. Just waiting for the traffic to go through so I can pull out onto the dual lane highway and take these 2 colonies.
splits. Home. Just finished a session at Valley Crest, so it was an interesting week, to say the least, when it came to the B work that we did. We had a B meeting yesterday on Saturday. The wind was blowing 10, 20 miles an hour the whole time we were out there. It was a light mist all the way, light rain all the way there. And it was just a miserable, miserable day to work bees. And if we had any sense of us, we would have probably called it off. But we didn't know whether the day would improve or whatever was going to happen. So we made lemonade out of the lemons that nature gave us. With the new beekeepers present, several from the Managed Mentoring Program, we spent the day going through what was there. And as you know from the last show, if you listened, Bob and I went through the hives and we knew what they were. So instead of opening them, we just did a verbal description. We had one dead out there and we went through it. And from the dead out, we were able to talk about a lot of different points, what mite frass look like and what drone comb look like and why did the bees die and how to do treatments. We parlayed what the equipment showed us into a bunch of different talking points. And all the while, we took the point to stop after we said a bunch of things and leave a pregnant pause so that people could ask questions. And there were a lot of great questions asked. And from that standpoint, I think the upper apiary conversation that we had was pretty successful. But really, what people want to see is bees. And so we walked down to the lower apiary and the really big booming hive that I know was there, one of mine, we opened it up. It was 40 degrees. Not a great day to open that colony. The heat was pouring out of the top. We kept it open for a while. To describe the colony, it's two deeps, and it had two mediums on it. And as I've said, they're bees floor to ceiling. We were able to show people drones. We were able to show the beekeepers brood in all stages, cap brood, what drone brood looks like versus traditional worker brood. We showed them the larva, we showed them the eggs, and how to discover all that. And there were a bunch of different talking points about the interior of the hive without draining the swamp as to what we spoke about. But all in all, the meeting had the right mix of everything that you could do based on the weather, right? You can only open one hive. We were planning on going through and doing inspections of hives coming out of winter for the first time, and we wanted to see if we could find queens, and we wanted to show them how to do a split, and unfortunately none of that manifested. But we told people, if you come back on Sunday at 1 p.m., we'll be here. And primarily, one of the things that I had to do was that massive hive, it had to be split. It was going to swarm. And the reason we know that is when we did the hive inspection, we found a swarm cell. So we talked about indicators, and then we talked about the triggers that were present that would cause that hive to swarm. So today at 1 o'clock, a handful of people came back. And we started on that monster hive, and it was roiling at the entrance. And I said to him, I'm not sure if we're going to get through this colony before it swarms, but we'll do our best, and we're going to take a monumental task to see if we can find the queen and pull a split out of it. And I had boxes staged to the side, ready to go, with drawn comb in them to put back for every frame we sourced out of the three colonies that we went through today. In the midst of looking for the queen, the hive swarmed right in front of our eyes. So it turns out the club had purchased all new equipment. Long time overdue. Beautiful job by Rick Connect to paint the equipment and get it ready. And yesterday he had taken a double deep and two mediums in preparation for some hive switchovers, and set them on the rail opposite of where we were. And the double deep had comb in it, and the two mediums had nothing but frames, no foundation. Well, lo and behold, the hive issued the swarm, and they went in that box across from us. We watched it go in. We got to talk to the new beekeepers that were there about, look at the scenting that's going on at the entrance. So the funny thing is, while we're trying to find the queen, she flew the coop and went into the hive across from us. So we went to plan B. We knew that there were queen cells in there. And so I sourced to put in my 6-frame polystyrene split that I wanted to make. 6 frames of resources, including 2 frames that have brood cells capped. No, not capped. Queen cells in progress, along with all the bees. And so now I'm actually going to get 2 colonies out of it. And this colony was so strong, as I opened the window and let a bee out, this colony was so strong that you could not only take a split and let the swarm issue, and it had so many bees in it that I've got to come back and put honey supers on it because it is just booming. So we pulled the 6 frames out of that booming colony, and we put 6 replacement frames and rearranged it, and it's good to go into spring. Flanking that hive to the left and right were 2 other colonies. The one sitting next to it was a double deep, and it had a medium on top. We looked through that, and we found the queen in the upper box. And so, same game plan there. Wanted to take a 6-frame split out of it. Found the queen, found the right resources for a split. 1 frame of brood in all stages. And when I say brood, the first one was capped brood. A frame of pollen, a frame of nectar, and for good measure, I threw another frame of brood in progress there so they'll have more bees. And put that in and pulled the 2nd split. So now the 2 6-frame polystyrene boxes were ready to go into the car. They're sitting behind me, and I'm taking them home to put in the home apiary. The last box on the left was an 8-frame polystyrene. And it was 8 over 8 over 8. And it was loaded with bees. And it's the first time it was open coming out of winter. And the top box had all the brood in it. And as I looked through it, when I got to frame 4, I found the queen. In the case of that box, in essence, I did a walkaway split. I took the box off that had the queen. I didn't go any further through it. And put it right on a bottom board. And I did something interesting. I put a queen excluder over top of it. Now, the thing that I didn't say is, as we went through all of the hives, including going further through the one I just took the box off of, we looked for any frames that had capped brood. Carpeted brood, capped brood. If we found one, I put another 8-frame box over top of the queen excluder, and we loaded those frames into that box. So now you have the 8-frame box with the queen found on the bottom board, a queen excluder, and a new box with bees from three different hives, all capped. And so from that standpoint, the purpose of that is that's going to be a cell builder for queen rearing. In time, all of that brood will emerge. There's no queen in there, but there's a queen below the queen excluder, so they will not build queen cells. I put a frame of food in there for those bees, although they can pass through the queen excluder and go out if they had to. And ideally, that will be a massive population going forward for us to pull off later and put on a separate bottom board and make into a cell builder for installing grafted queens in. So behind me is a 8 over 8 with a queen excluder in the middle, and that's going in the apiary too. Now, in due time, if we were right and the queen stays in that colony that was across, we'll take another box over and we'll pull that colony out of the club's equipment and we'll put it in mine and we'll get that queen. So all in all, it was a good day. I was excited for the people today because they had all the time, there was only five or six of them, to look at anything they wanted to see. They got to see carpets of brood. They were able to see eggs. They were able to see drones. We found the queens. We talked about how to spot a queen. It was just like a mini private lesson for those that came back today. And I can't say that it went any better. Now, I'll share a quick moment. Last night, we went to the races, as you heard in the beginning. Didn't get home till 2:30 in the morning. I was not on my game mental faculty today. And I also know that the injury to my eye, post-surgery mess that I have going on, I can't spot the eggs very well. That's a bit of a frustration. Hopefully the eye problem clears up. But all in all, life is good. So there was one other activity to talk about for the local hive report. I've been tearing down the boxes in the apiary that didn't make it. Some of them got redistributed to the operation I just talked about. I gave 12 frames to my twin and his wife, as you heard. And they now are going to pull splits from their hives. And there should be two more colonies coming into the apiary this week. So today, they came to this bee thing we just did. This mini lesson, that impromptu lesson because of the weather thing yesterday. And I was able to hand off the equipment as we had talked about. So, all in all, life is good, progressing. I went through the Waray hive, which was sitting. It did not make it through fall last year. And I left it sitting out in the apiary over the winter. I tilted the boxes on side so that the rain would not go in. I'm going to let some more bees out. Come on out, girls. There they go. This is a perfect time to talk about this, Kevin moment. I'm riding home and there's loose bees. They were on the outside of the boxes. We did our best to set the hives aside for a period of time, but there's always loose bees on equipment. If you're picking up your bees, your nukes, and whatever, and you have loose bees in the car like I do exactly at this moment, they're going to be on the back window, and I see two or three of them. And sometimes they fly up to the middle window, and then they fly up to the window next to me. I don't particularly worry about getting stung, but when they're up next to me on the window or the window across from me, and I just pulled up to a stoplight, all I did was let the windows down and let the bees out. If you find that you are not at a stoplight or a stop sign or something, just pull off to a safe place and open the windows and let them out. If you're bringing home a nuke, yes, the nuke will be sealed. So will the package. But a lot of times, errant bees find nukes and packages that are for sale, and they're hanging on the outside, trying to talk to the bees on the inside. And even though you brought home a sealed package, you're going to find loose bees flying around and wonder how that got through. And so that's how you handle it. Roll the windows down. Back to my Waray. I went through all the comb. The wax moth found it here early. I didn't think they would, but they did. It's funny because all the big hives that I've been through have not seen signs of wax moth. Maybe the wax moth got into that in the fall. I'm not sure. But from that perspective, I was able to find enough frames to put four boxes out. And so I set that up over by the satellite. You heard me talk about that in the past. When we bought the house, my in-laws used to have a dish satellite. Monster one of those really big ones. And it's still there. It's concreted into the ground. I never took it out. And sometimes I put beehives over that side of the property. I also have a 8-frame over there, and today I took my swarm commander and sprayed it at the entrance. And as I'm cleaning out my dead outs, I took some frames. I'm at the Flemington Circle. I need to pay attention to traffic. Make sure nobody crashes into me. Because that would be bad if they hit a vehicle with live bees in it. Bees spilled all over the place. And now I'm paying attention to make sure I don't crash. Give me a minute. Hold on. I'm almost done. Almost there. Don't hit me. Good. Thank you. There's so many accidents on this circle. It's crazy. People have no clue how to drive it. I took the frames that I cleaned up from the hives that didn't make it, and I put them in the swarm trap and sprayed commander there. So I know you could put swarm traps out in the world, but a lot of times if you just take your equipment and put it out in your yard, you'd be surprised how many bees you'll catch that way. And so I accomplished all that today. The last thing I did was go through some of the equipment that I pulled out. And as promised, any of the really old frames, anything older than 2020, including 2020, I pulled out. And if the comb looked bad, I pulled it out. It's time to cut all that comb out, melt it in the solar wax melter, and put fresh foundation in and get rid of the old comb in the operation. I have a pile of about 14 frames currently sitting on the table in the back. And I'm sure I'll find more as I go through the last two or three hives that I have left over. Productive beekeeping weekend with a pinch of racing in the side. That's what happens in April. Your weekends are dedicated to beekeeping. I want to wish Keith and Karina good luck in making their splits. I think some of the stuff they saw today will actually help them as they try to do that for the first time. I don't know if I could think of anything else, so local hive report, check.
Hey everybody, time to say let's go. Time to get on to beekeeping for the rest of the week. Got all kinds of things planned. I did go and look at the top bar hive. Mouse moved in. Oh my gosh, what a mess. Pulled all the comb out of that and going to rehabilitate that hive and the Lands hive. So that's the plan for the week, and I've got a lot of work to do after work this week. And yeah, time for me to go set that all up. That's what I do on Sunday nights, is plan out my week of beekeeping activity. And I'm going to sign off here and go take care of that. Like our beloved bees, when beekeepers go together, we can accomplish great things. Thanks for listening, everybody. Catch you on the next episode.